Hello to our freaky family. I'm Michelle.
And I'm Candy.
And this is Sips of Crime. Welcome back, everybody, to Sips of Crime, your favorite true crime podcast.
Hello, everyone.
Hope you guys are doing good. Candy, how have you been?
I've been good. I'm actually, I've been craving some crab rangoons.
Oh my gosh. I'm in the office on Fridays. Mm-hmm. I choose to go into the office on Fridays because it's quiet and nobody's there.
Yep.
And it's just easy. And Fridays are normally pretty simple for me as well because my mother-in-law always has my daughter.
Yep.
I prefer to go into, most people opt out of going into the office on Fridays, but one of the many things that I love so much about going into the office on Fridays is that I also DoorDash.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Do you get crab rangoons?
I got some really great Chinese food the other day. Ooh. Yes, and I always get crab rangoons and like pick out while I work at my desk in silence.
I am going to make some.
Oh, from scratch?
Yes, but instead of frying them, I'm going to bake them.
Oh, okay.
Like in the oven.
Okay.
And see what happens.
I love it. Let me know how that goes.
I will. I will definitely let you know.
That but sounds delicious.
I was going to make them last night, but I didn't. I ended up working on a puzzle. And I just didn't want to. And I told Jordan, I was like, if they don't turn out good, I'm just going to call the Chinese place and order some.
And order some.
I'm pretty sure they're closed today. So I honestly don't know if they're open today or not. But we're going to attempt it. I will let you know how it turns out. Because I had a deep fryer, but it sat outside.
Oh.
And it rained the next day because I had made egg rolls and fried green tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was letting it cool down.
Yeah.
And completely forgot that I was out there on the back porch.
Oh,
and
no.
And it had poured down rain the next day. And I was just like, screw it. And I mean, it was a smaller one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could really benefit from a bigger one.
Yeah.
And I was just like, whatever, I just tossed it. So,
have you attempted to air fry?
Well, I thought about that too because I do have the air fryer.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, I throw stuff in there. I can't do a pizza. I burn the pizza every time. But,
I never thought about doing a personal pizza in the air fryer.
I do those little 99-cent.
The little kids ones. Yes. Yeah. Dakota loves those. I'll have to try that.
Just, it tells you on the box how to do it, but just
don't
watch
do it that way.
No, just watch it because. Okay. Every time I do it that way, it burns. And mine isn't the one that, like, you can, like, digitally pick your temperature. Mine, you have the dials.
Oh, yeah. So that's the way that my mom's is, too. I brought mine over here.
Yeah. So, you know, mine is like, oh, it looks like it's 10 minutes, but it's probably really 12. Or, you know.
Oof.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it works great. It does. But, I might do half in the air fryer and
if you're going to bake them anyway.
And bake half, air fry half.
Maybe not half. Maybe like four. Put like four in there and just
true,
see.
True, so I don't ruin
Yeah, you don't want to ruin like a ton of them.
True. So I'm going to attempt that. I will let you know how that works
that
out tonight.
Really, really
yes.
good.
If they turn out good, then I can bring them over the next time we record.
Yes. Well, I don't really have a whole lot going on. Like I said, we are in the process. Our land perked. So that's good. We're, you know, well on the way of getting everything going. We've just got so many different ins and outs of this and that. We're trying to see, like, what we need to do next as far as our house build. So hopefully we'll have some answers as to what's coming next after that. But, yep, that's
you
kind
have to
of
keep me updated.
I definitely will.
I know you will because, yep.
Most definitely will. But with that being said, I would like to drink.
Okay.
What do we have?
We are going to drink Dark Horse. It's a red blend.
And you can get this at, like, your local grocery store.
Yeah. It says, a true winemaker's wine. We founded Dark Horse with a bold mission. Use winemaking techniques typically reserved for expensive wines on a wine that our friends could actually afford.
I like affordable wine.
Me too. Just like, I saw that one bottle that I was like, oh, this looks like it would be good. But it was $24, and I'm like, if I don't know if I'm going to like it, I don't want to buy $24.
The only time that we ever spend that much on a bottle of wine is if we're at a vineyard.
Yes,
I would
but
never
I've already tried
spend,
it.
Right.
But I've already tried it, and I know I like it.
I would never spend that much at a grocery store bottle. We're cheap.
Not just that, but I want to make sure I like it.
Yes, I agree. And that's part of why we do this podcast.
Yes. So our classic red blend uses gentle winemaking techniques, resulting in smooth, velvety notes of jammy, dark fruit, brown spice, and toasted oak.
Ooh. And this one's, I'm sorry, what did you say? Dark, oh, it's the red blend. Okay.
Yes. Dark Horse Red Blend.
I've had a handful of dark. I was telling you earlier that I always think of the Katy Perry song.
Yes.
Coming at you like a dark horse.
This one's not as red.
Yeah, we did two reds back to back, which is kind of abnormal.
Yes, it is for us. And speaking of, well, not really speaking of, but I know we're a little late to the game. But now that we're back into recording, what about Gypsy being released?
Oh my gosh, you guys. Okay, so we are going to cover that one.
We are.
Candy actually is currently working on her research for that case now. And nuts. Just nuts. I don't know how I feel about it. Every single time I watch a documentary or every single time I see a story,
it's all over my Snapchat, my TikTok, my Facebook, my Instagram. Like
every single time I hear something, it's like I go back and forth. I mean, I feel terrible. This is the perfect example of feel bad for the kid, not for the adult.
Yeah.
Because I just can't decide if I'm on her side or not. I just don't know.
I don't know. There's just so much going on now after her release that if we would have done her...
Oh, yeah, I'm so glad that we didn't do it beforehand.
I would have so been on her side because we would have felt bad for the child. But now that she has been released and we're getting all these new stories and watching how she interacts
and
on these interviews.
She's so open about everything. Yes.
And it's just, we're going to get to all that.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we can't go on a tangent about that right
not
now.
Not yet, but nutso, nutso, nutso.
Okay.
Cheers.
Dark Horse. That one's good.
This one is a little sweeter for sure. And I definitely do get the jammy.
Our other one.
Oh, no, that's right. We do. We rate wines.
We do.
We
and
do
we did
that.
Not rate our the dark.
Okay.
The dark, I'm going to have to give like a 2.
Really? That's harsh.
Okay, I'll give it a... It's not bad. I'll take that back. It's not like... It's definitely not dry like I thought it would be.
This is not a sipping wine. This is not a wine that you would pour to, like, sit by a fire.
I think it would be good with a steak.
Yes. That's one thing we have to keep in mind is because a lot of wines are supposed to be paired with food, and we don't eat normally.
No, we don't.
On this
we talk
podcast,
about food.
We talk about a lot of food, but we don't normally eat on this podcast because y'all don't want to hear us crunching.
I'll
be delicious with food. This would be so good with your crapper and goons.
It would.
This, on the other hand, is definitely more of a sipping wine. Like, I could pour this and sip on it by a fire because it has a little bit of... It has some sugar content.
It does. It is much sweeter. I'll give the dark... I'll bump it up to, like, a 2.6, 2.8.
Fine.
But it's still... Like, I wouldn't... It's not a bottle that I would get again to sip.
Sure, sure, sure.
Like, if me and you were going to have a steak dinner...
We'll maybe drink some dark.
Yeah.
The dark.
Yeah. But Dark Horse... Let me take one more sip.
Yeah, take another sip and let's...
I think Dark Horse is pretty good.
I really like it. You know, we didn't have a whole lot to talk about this. Do you want to froth it?
We can.
Let's do it. My frother's downstairs.
We'll do it.
Let's see if it changes
anything.
Pause, please. And now, a quick word from some amazing members of our freaky family.
Hello, everybody. This is Liam Collins, the host of the podcast Crime Over Wine, and I'm about to make your Wine Wednesdays so much better. We know that there is nothing better than hanging out and listening to your favorite true crime podcast over your favorite bottle of wine, and that's where we come in. Every week, we share a new head-scratching true crime story while reviewing your new favorite bottle of wine. So your new true crime adventure is waiting for you. Crime Over Wine drops new episodes every Wednesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so previous episode, we talked about the frothing of the wine that's been on TikTok.
Yes, and so now we're going to do it. How long are we supposed to do it?
I wouldn't think long.
Tell me when.
I feel like that's good.
Okay.
We have frothed our wine.
Cheers again.
I don't really feel like it tastes much different.
I don't feel like it tastes much different either.
Maybe a little more, like, airy.
I was about to say, yeah, it's a little lighter. Like, I did feel like I was drinking, like, a little bit more of, like a sparkling.
Without the carbonation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I could see that.
The second sip is the exact same, though. Like, take another sip of it.
Like, after, like,
it tastes like we just opened it. Yeah. It just goes right back to the way that it tasted before.
Okay.
I don't like it.
Who knows?
Do not froth your wine. There's just no point.
If you want to for an extra step.
I will tell you, you're going to be mad at me.
Why?
Okay. So, do you remember, I'm on a new kick. And I'm going to get you there. You might trust me a little bit more than I think you do, but
I trust you with my life, but what are we talking about?
Okay. So, I am totally. Do you remember whenever Lindsay Lohan put out the commercial with the milk and the Pepsi?
No, you didn't.
No, I didn't. I didn't. I promise. But you remember how, like, you were saying, like, oh, that's so gross. Like, we were both like, that's so disgusting, blah, yes, blah, blah. And I told you about Laverne and Shirley. You know, that old school show, Laverne and Shirley. Mm-hmm. Laverne used to do that. Like, and this was a show that, like, came on Nick at Night from, like, my mother used to watch it. Okay, it was like an old sitcom of these two women, very similar to ourselves.
Yes.
Best friends. And her thing was, like, whenever she got stressed out, she would put milk in her Pepsi. Mm-hmm. And that was, like, her drink. Well, Lindsay Lohan did it on a commercial. I think it was around Christmas time.
Yeah.
And I don't know what she called it.
I can't remember. I mean, it's similar to a float, but not.
But I have gotten on to the dirty soda trend.
What dirty soda trend?
So this is where you take a soda of some kind and you put a little bit of... So there's a term for dirty soda. There's like an actual recipe for a dirty soda, but people have taken it.
I feel like you're talking about a dirty martini.
No, it's not at all. So it's a dirty soda, and there's an actual recipe that classifies it as a dirty soda. It's kind of a Midwest thing. Mm-hmm. But other people have like turned it into like just kind of a generic term for when you do this. But an actual dirty soda is a Coke or a Pepsi, mm-hmm, a little bit of lime juice, and then coconut cream. Okay. Now, I follow this girl on TikTok who is like dirty soda fanatic. Mm-hmm. And she uses a regular Coke Zero, which is another thing I am on trend for. Oh my God, I'm obsessed with Coke Zero. There's no calories in it, Candy. You can have as many of them as you want.
I drink zero calorie Sprite.
You should have a Coke Zero. I'm obsessed. Okay. But she puts coffee creamer in it. Yeah. And for Valentine's Day, I got... Okay, here's what happened. You remember I sent you that tequila rose, which we need to taste, with the strawberries and cream Dr. Pepper?
Yes.
Okay, I got it. It was really good. Me and Mom drank it. Uh-huh. Absolutely delicious. Just so happens that same night, it popped up on my TikTok feed of this girl making a Coke Zero with some of that Barrington berries and cream coffee creamer. It's delicious, Candy. Candy, it's so good. Candy, it's delicious. Stop shaking your head and looking at me like I'm crazy. It's delicious. I'm going to have you taste it sometime.
Oh, God.
Yes. We're going to do the tequila one first because the tequila rose and that strawberries and cream soda. It's zero sugar, too. The Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
It's really good. But it tastes just the same.
Like, I love a cheer wine or cherry Coke or
it's
something
better.
Like that. So I could see the strawberry, but I don't know about coconut in my
You don't
Coke.
Have to use the coconut. That's what I'm saying. Like,
I don't know about berries and cream. It reminds me of that. Who's so berries and cream, berries and cream.
You want to make you one? I have everything up here.
No, not right now.
Oh my God, it's so good.
I mean, if you want to go make yourself one.
No, I want to drink my wine.
And I'll try it later.
We'll do it after recording.
Okay, I just don't know about it. I have been drinking black coffee.
Good! You can have as much of that as you want to, you know?
Yeah.
When you're fasting.
Yeah, maybe that's what helped on Friday.
But I was about to say, I'm telling you. Lord have mercy. Okay, we have a story for you guys today. I'm so excited. That's right. This one's, yes, I'm so excited about your story.
Okay. Well, freaky fam. This episode of Sips of Crime, I'm going to tell you guys about a woman named Kathleen Peterson. So grab a glass.
Grab a friend.
And let's dive in. This story / event is also referred to as The Staircase.
Yeah, so they just came out with, was it a Netflix?
It's on A&E TV channel. It's on HBO. It's on Netflix.
It was a series? Or is it just a movie?
I think some of them are both.
No, the Staircase is either a movie or a series. It's the newest one that just came out, but I don't know if it's a movie or if it's a series.
I think the series is Netflix.
Family is all we got. We're not perfect, God knows. But we've survived. Because we stick together. And we love each other.
I bet HBO is a movie. And I bet Netflix is a series.
What's going on? What are the police looking for?
We believe Michael Peterson murdered Kathleen in cold blood.
A limited series. Okay.
So it is a series.
Okay. And it's like a remake. So they have actors.
Yes, yes.
But it is a remake of Candy Story.
Yes, it is. So
it's a really well-known story.
You want to go check it out after this, or you know, before, whatever you want to do.
I haven't watched it yet. I'm going to after. I wanted to hear your episode first.
Okay. So Kathleen Peterson, well, Kathleen Hunt, was born on February 21st, 1953, in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Oh, I didn't know that she was a local.
She is. She was. But she grew up in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. She was a very accomplished student, engineer, leader, and volunteer. She was voted, quote, Girl of the Year and, quote, Lancaster Lass in the early 60s.
I love that for her.
During high school, she was involved in clubs, the school magazine, and was the first high school student allowed to take advanced Latin classes at Franklin and Marshall College.
We would have been friends with her.
Oh, yeah. Kathleen graduated from her high school as the number one student in the class of 473 students. She was also selected to be published in the Who's Who book of American high school students. She became the first woman to be accepted into the School of Engineering at Duke University. She obtained a bachelor's in civil engineering and a master's in mechanical engineering.
So she was like totally the it girl.
Oh, yeah.
Like she did it all.
Kathleen went on to become an American businesswoman and
philanthropist.
Yep. Philanthropist. Yep. Say it again.
Philanthropist. I know that's a hard one. Philanthropist.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Taking executive positions in prestige pharmaceutical.
You're not even going to try.
Nope. I am not. Nope.
Philanthropist.
Nope. Yeah, we done said it. We moved on.
Sorry.
Anyway. And she took executive positions in prestige pharmaceutical and IT companies. She's a very smart woman.
Yes. Maybe we wouldn't have been friends because she's way smarter than me.
Maybe not.
But she
might have been friends with you because you can pronounce it. I cannot.
She did love her wine, though. So I'm
she
just
did.
Saying.
She did. Maybe we would have. Who knows? She ended up marrying her first husband, Fred Atwater, in 1977, and had a daughter named Caitlin. Unfortunately, it did not work out, and they divorced due to him having an affair.
Ugh, with her? Good Lord, if she can't keep a man.
Right. You got the
She's
smartest
everything.
Woman.
Everything. Yeah.
And you could be dumb.
Get it together, men.
Fast forward, later on in life, she then met a man named Michael Peterson. And they were married in 1996, 1997.
Ish.
Yep. Around that time. There were multiple stories that said each dates, so we just put them both in there.
Sure.
A not-so-little background on Michael. He was born October 23rd of 1943 near Nashville, Tennessee. And his parents' names were Eugene and Eleanor Peterson. He also graduated from Duke University with a bachelor's in political science.
Okay, okay. Now, were they in college at the same time together?
It didn't specify, but possibly.
Eleanor and Eugene. Oh.
He graduated from Duke University with a bachelor's in political science, like I said. While at Duke University, he was the president of Sigma Nu Fraternity.
Oh, he's a frat boy.
Yeah.
Frat boy.
Was editor of the Daily Student Newspaper. He then went on to attend the University of Chapel Hill and attended law school classes. After graduating, he got a job at the United States Department of Defense, where he researched arguments supporting increased military involvement in Vietnam.
Whew! Fucking Vietnam!
I can't. Oh, Lord. Jordan loves Forrest Gump. And so now every time I watch that movie, I'm going to think about this.
Please tell him that me and him are one of the same.
During this time, he met his first wife, Patricia Sue. She taught at an elementary school in Germany.
Ooh.
They went on to have two children named Clayton and Todd. In 1968, Michael was ordered into the U.S. Marine Corps, and he served in the Vietnam War.
Fucking Vietnam!
But in 1971, he obtained an honorable discharge with the rank of captain after a car crash in Japan left him with a permanent disability. Years later, he claimed he had been awarded a Silver Star, a Bronze Star, and two Purple Hearts. But he had no documentation to support this.
I was
going to
say claimed.
Well, and right, like, I feel like if you're going to get these awards, like, that would be something that, like, there's going to be articles, mm-hmm. there's going to be documentation, there's going to be...
And you actually have, like, their medals are, yes. are actually in existence. Yes.
And I feel like if you met someone and you talked about the war and being in it and, you know, being discharged, like, you would bring those things up.
Right.
Why... Not to boast about yourself, but yes, boast about yourself because you earn these things.
Yeah, and it's also part of, like, you know, the getting to know you stage. Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, here, you know, these are very special to me. Like, these are all my medals.
Right, this is important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that's boasting. Like, if you were to show, like, when, like, I have a display case for my daughter's medals for gymnastics. Mm-hmm. Like, and if she meets a friend of hers, she's like, these are my medals. Like, I mean.
Be proud of that.
Be proud of them. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, I don't think that it would be boasting to show your, you know, two purple hearts, a bronze star, and a silver star to somebody you're getting to know. Like, that's not.
But did you?
I don't think they existed.
I don't think so either, but, you know.
Liar.
I wasn't there. Michael and Patricia lived in Germany for a while and had close friends, as do most couples. When their close friends passed away, they became the guardians of their two children, Margaret and Martha Ratliff. Michael and Patricia ended up divorcing in 1987. The two sons, Clayton and Todd, they stayed with their mother, and the two daughters actually went, Margaret and Martha actually, went and lived with Michael in Durham, North Carolina.
Okay, hold on. Mm-hmm. So, Margaret...
And Martha were the
two... Wait, okay. Michael and Patricia had how many kids between the two of them?
Just Clayton and Todd, their sons.
They had two sons,
mm-hmm.
and Patricia already had...
No, their friends passed away. So, when their friends passed away, the couple...
Those were their kids, their guardians. Okay, they were like godparents.
Yep, of Margaret and Martha.
Okay. So they weren't actually related at all then?
No. So Margaret and Martha were with Michael in Durham, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Clayton and Todd are with Patricia in Germany.
Their biological mother.
Mm-hmm. Eventually, the sons did join Michael in Durham. So fast forward. We're here, 1989, when Michael had met Kathleen, mm-hmm. and now they've moved in together, and they become a blended family,
mm-hmm.
with five children total.
None of which are Kathleen's.
Only Caitlin.
Right, because she had a daughter. Yes. Okay. With okay. Caitlin.
Yeah.
It's like the Brady Bunch.
Yeah. It is. But, you know, the blended family has moved in.
Mm-hmm.
There were a few articles that stated the two actually moved in together in 1987 before he divorced his first wife. And once the divorce was finalized, him and Kathleen married in 1997. So that's why I threw in the 1996.
They don't really know, like, when. Yep. Okay. So they might have moved in before they were married. They might have gotten married before they moved in. Nobody really knows.
Right. Who knows if the divorce was finalized? Whatever. They were living together. They're now a blended family.
Happily ever after.
Yep. For Kathleen now. And Michael were thriving in life. She was a telecommunications executive. And he had received a $500,000 advance on a book deal. In 1992, they bought an 11,000 square foot, 14 room mansion on 3 acres of land in Forest Hills neighborhood.
I am not building a house that big.
I don't want to clean it.
That is one of the reasons that we sold our big house. Okay, y'all don't know, but my husband and I, as we've been talking about, we are in the process of selling our house and building a new home. We have officially sold our house, but we had a 4-bedroom, 3-bath house, mm-hmm. In North Carolina. We just sold that home, and it was my fault. I told him to buy the house for me. I'm like, I need a bigger house because I want a guest bedroom.
Don't let her lie. She utilized every inch of space in that home.
That is one of the reasons we sold it, was because it allowed me to collect so much junk. I don't know what I would do with 14 rooms.
What? I can't.
It ended up being too big. My husband and I are done having children. We want it. So we are building a small home. When there's only three of them
and they had three bathrooms.
Yes. And so we could all poop at the same time. It was ridiculous. I'm telling you. So we are building a much smaller home, but we just determined that it was too big for us. And like I said, listening to this, it's like 14 rooms.
Which, I'm assuming with your $500,000 advance and her huge...
I don't even know backstory, that many people.
But they probably had a house cleaner. Somebody probably came and cleaned their house if they didn't have a maid.
My 4-bedroom was too big.
So
I almost hired a maid for my 4-bedroom. I did.
I am definitely... I'm going to clean my home. But then I'm going to have someone come in and deep clean.
Like quarterly.
Yes.
Is what I want to do. Like, I think it makes sense. Ladies, seriously, it's not that expensive either. And men! You should do this for your wives or your girlfriends or...
I'm talking about them, like...
Your mothers.
Baseboards, walls, all of that.
It's not that expensive. Have some... Mm-mm. Like, for Valentine's Day or for birthdays or, like, mm-hmm. anniversaries, go and find a house cleaner and just hire them just quarterly.
And they're everywhere. They're so local.
You're supporting
everywhere.
A small business. Mm-hmm. It's a great investment. And like I said, it's really not that expensive. I think that it's only probably like $250.
If that, depending on your square footage.
And you can think about that like every 3 months. Mm-hmm. $250 divided. I mean, come on. It's in, and I promise you, the woman in your life will think you are a saint.
Right. I mean, I'm talking, I'm doing it. Once I get... Because we're redoing the office. We're doing all that stuff. Once I get everything where it's supposed to be and stuff like that, then yes, I'm going to have them come in. I'm going to have them deep clean.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if I just cleaned it on Saturday and they're coming on Monday.
No, just because I'm not cleaning the baseboards.
I'm not washing the walls. I don't have time. I have a 4-year-old at home. Mm-hmm. Like, I just don't.
Yeah.
So I will be more than happy to pay you to come in and do all those things.
Yep. Men, do it for your wives. Wives, if your men won't do it for you,
just call us.
Do it yourself.
Well, that too. Or, just call us. Well, we can start a fund. We can start a fund and just be like, we're going to raise money for all the women that listen to us and or men, single men, that need their house deep cleaned.
Oh, that's a good point, too. Yeah. Okay, so I'm just going to... We're going off on a tangent here, but I will say, I just actually learned about this organization. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of amazing. And I found it on TikTok. I don't know if you guys follow her, but her name is Jen Hamilton. She's a North Carolina labor and delivery nurse who's amazing. She has the chicken. She has the chickens that live in the house. She's amazing. You guys, I will link some of her stuff to our website, sipsofcrime.com. You guys, she assists. I don't know if she runs it. I don't know if she's like the... owner of it, but she is part of this nonprofit company called the Hot Mess Express.
Cute.
And what they do is it's a team of women mm-hmm. who go and clean other women's houses who have been going through tragedy.
That is amazing.
So moms of loss, moms who have children in the hospital, mothers who have lost husbands, mothers mm-hmm. who have lost children, mothers who are sick. Mothers who, they go in and they just clean up their whole house.
That's amazing.
It's completely free to the receiver and it's all volunteer efforts and it's like bringing me to tears.
That's
just
really
trying
sweet.
To think about it. But it's called the Hot Mess Express and it's other moms helping moms. We will find out some more information around them since Candy brought it up. And we'll link some of that stuff to our website. So definitely go and check that out if you're interested. But how amazing is that
really awesome.
To just go and like support your own. And it's all local mothers. Like it's like your neighbors and your church family. And it's your coworkers. It's, it's these everyday people who are not asking for the help. It's just like, hey, we heard you were going through a hard time. We would love to offer this to you free. Would you accept this from us? And then they say yes or no. And then this like group, and I think there's like 9 of them.
Oh.
And they just knock it out. They say it takes us like 4 hours out of a Saturday. And we feel so fulfilled afterwards.
I bet so.
And I'm just so touched by that. So
That's
we
really
will definitely
sweet.
Link that as well.
Okay, so...
Anyway, this rich family who doesn't need any of these things, they bought a 14-bedroom mansion. Yeah. Please continue.
Well, it didn't specify 14 bedrooms, but it's 14 room.
Whatever.
So, I mean, I guess maybe they're considering the living room, the den, the
sitting room. That still leaves far too many bedrooms.
Whatever. Agreed. Agreed. But, of course, you know, after moving in and having a thriving life and money and, you know, all those good things, quote, with any marriage, there were tense moments over money, and they would fight and make up. Again, as any marriage.
Very normal.
I don't see how you could live with someone 24/7 and not have some disagreements.
Absolutely not. No, I love my husband, but I also would like to kill him sometimes.
Yes, agreed. Agreed. All right, so... That was in 1992. We're going to fast forward to 2001. Michael, who is now 58, and Kathleen, who is now 48, they're spending the evening together on December 8th. But at 2:40 a.m., the morning of December 9th, Michael called 911 to say he found his wife's body at the bottom of the black staircase in their mansion and stated on the phone that she was still breathing, claiming that she had fallen after an evening of drinking and possibly mixing Valium.
Dum, dum, dum.
But he was unsure since he had been outside smoking a cigar. But by the time the paramedics arrived, they could not find a pulse.
Mm.
I'm a very clumsy person.
Girl.
Very, very clumsy. I fall up the steps, down the steps, I run into the wall. My son is just the same.
Girl. You know, one of the things that drives me nuts is whenever my sleeve gets caught on the doorknob.
Pisses me
off. Oh, my God.
Or my belt loop.
Yes! Oh, my gosh. I've been impaled by a belt loop before. Yep. And you're like, and it always happens on the worst day.
Oh, yeah. But I could see falling. You know, I fall all the time.
Listen, I'm here to tell you, I mean, if somebody were to say, you know, tragically, Michelle has passed away due to falling down the stairs, I don't think that too many people would be surprised. I mean, I get that. I mean, it's plausible.
I wouldn't be surprised that you fell down the stairs, but I would be surprised that it was traumatic enough to kill you.
Which is why we're going to talk about this story a little bit more. Oh, my gosh.
So, toxicology showed a blood alcohol percent of 0.07, just under the legal limit, and blood concentration of Valium consisted with therapeutic doses.
Therapeutic, so what does that mean?
That could be from, like, say your doctor said, hey, you, your prescription for your Valium is one every day, or one as needed,
sure.
Two as needed, or whatever your prescription is. That is the therapeutic dose. So okay. It wasn't that she had...
So it's not a specific amount. It's like whatever your doctor's... So your therapeutic dose might be different than
it's
my therapeutic
dose. It's not that she had, you know...
But it was not an overly
amount. It's not like she had two bottles of wine and five Valium in her system.
Oh, yeah, no, let me tell you. It doesn't take very long to get over that 0.08 of the legal limit either, okay? Let me just tell you.
It does.
I'm just saying, if you're under the legal limit, you have not consumed a lot of alcohol.
She was not over the legal limit when they did this toxicology. The autopsy also showed that she sustained 7 deep lacerations to her scalp, which they labeled as a result of a beating.
Which you don't get when you fall down the stairs.
No, you don't.
Blunt force trauma to the head is very different than lacerations.
Right. Now, Kathleen died from the blood loss hours after she fell.
That was one of the biggest things about the story that kills me. And one of the things that I find to be... Because here's the thing. Like, yes, I understand. Like blunt force trauma. A lot of the times whenever somebody falls... And I'm no expert, okay? I'm no expert. But whenever somebody falls down something, okay? Your main concern when it comes to, like, medical is internal injuries.
Mm-hmm.
You are very...
Or if you get a bump on the head and it's not protruding and it's going inward.
Yes. Very much so, internal bleeding is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so, bruising. Very much so, like Candy was saying, you know, your indentions into your head. Now, the amount of blood at this crime scene, or not crime scene, at this
event
was incident, astronomical.
Accident, whatever.
Okay, there was so much blood at the. I mean, they describe it as very, very gruesome, and I just have a.
And I did see the picture. And I did you not can save find it them too. I did not save it. It will not be posted.
We will not be posting it.
It's a lot.
It's too much. But you can find them if you need to. But the amount of blood that was found at this scene is the one thing that throws this story off. To me,
that and another the lacerations on her scalp.
Yes, like you just don't get them from. Like I said,
falling
I can see
down the steps.
I can see internal bleeding. I can see internal bruising. I can see you know bone bruising. I can see organ
contusions.
Yes, you know all of these things. I can see what you were talking about indenting skulls. You know skull fractures. But none of those things cause external blood.
Right.
So,
with Kathleen dying from the blood loss hours after she fell, investigators deemed Kathleen's death suspicious due, of course, to the great amount of blood at the scene and ruled it as blunt force trauma. Of course, during the investigation, the spouse is considered a suspect. It's just...
Always.
Be
prepared. If somebody close to you passes, you are going to be their first... person that you're going to come talk to.
It's just...
As you should.
Agreed. And you could have the happiest relationship.
They're still going,
but you're still going to be questioned. You're going to still be considered a person...
Of interest.
And this didn't help as more information regarding their personal life came out. But on December 20th, 2001, Michael was indicted by a grand jury for first-degree murder.
So they were pretty much like, hey, we think you did this.
Yep. So Michael's murder trial began on July of 2003. Pictures of naked men had been found on his computer, along with communication about Michael meeting these men for sex.
Ooh.
Prosecution argued that Kathleen could have discovered this information and confronted her husband, as would any wife. But, of course, defense argued that they had a happy marriage. Prosecutors also argued that Michael beat her to death, or that the motive was for the life insurance money, because that totaled out to $1.8 million, and their credit card debt was over $100,000.
But, I mean, if you really think about it, though, I mean, considering what they were worth...
Right, it does.
Is $100,000 in credit card debt really that much? Because, I mean, both of us have been in finance for years.
Right.
And we see businesses run up a tab easily of way more than that on a normal basis. And it's just kind of like, we'll pay it off at the end of the month.
I'm up here at, you know, $11 million. Okay, well, you're going to get my monthly payments. But here in about 6 months, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to pay that off. And we're going to... you know, redo our loan, and we're going to either decrease or increase, you know, like...
Yeah, because finances change so quickly whenever you're dealing with that amount of money that, like, I mean, you have to wonder, was $100,000 of credit card debt really even suspicious?
Look at, dealerships.
Yeah.
They do all sorts of money movements.
Yeah.
And...
At any given time, they could be in debt of $100,000, and then... You know, easily know you that know, next month it's going to get paid off because they're going to sell 20 of those cars.
Right. And, you know, they're going to like, okay, we're supposed to recast our loan in 8 months. But, you know, right now we ain't looking so hot. But in 8 months, we're over here making millions of dollars more. It just, that to me did not.
It doesn't seem like a trigger.
No, I don't feel like that would have been a motive.
When you're dealing with an engineer, wife, and,
right, you know, and you already
book deal.
You got... $500,000 book deal, right? $500,000?
Yes.
Yeah. Or a book deal that you could not sit down and write another book. No, I'm not saying writing books is easy because I do want to write a book. I have come up with my plot.
I was going to say, what are you going to write a book about, Candy?
Remember I sent you like my intro, like my little first paragraph?
Yes, but I haven't heard much about it since.
No, because I, have not really had time to sit down and do that. I think that's going to have to be something that... I do later on in life when my child's a little older and I have time to sit down and really do it.
It took J.K. Rowling 7 years to write the first Harry Potter book.
Well, and I don't see myself writing a book in a week.
No.
You know, like, it's going to take me a long time. I do have a plot that I kind of want to go on, but I also don't want my book to be, which is going to be hard because so many books out there do have the same plot. They have the same story. They do have the same, it's just, I don't want to copy anyone.
Yeah.
I want it to be my own.
I will say that, like, one of the things that drives me nuts about so many books, and even the book series I'm reading now, like the Court of Thorns and Roses, it's predictable.
That too. I don't want it to be predictable. It's predictable. And there are authors that, like Riley Sayer, I have read multiple of his books, or I did one, what was her name? I read two of her books. It was the one where she was writing about Rachel, the one that did the podcast, and one was The Night Swim and Dark Corners.
Uh-huh.
Her writing and the way she tells the story is very the same. So when I read the second book, I knew how it was going to go, but I just don't want to copy another book. Mm-hmm. Like, I want this to be my own thought. If it somewhat seems like, oh, you know, Harry Sue over here wrote something similar, okay, cool, I didn't read that book.
It is what it is.
But, you know.
Well, one of the things that I loved, so I really, really was a big fan of The Butcher and the Wren.
Yes,
I loved it so much. It was a great twist.
I'm getting it in physical form.
Yes, it was a great twist plot situation, and, you know, she said I had a bulletin board of sticky notes, and she said at the end of the book I had to read through it before I sent it off, and she said I had to take strings and connect each thing and to make sure that my ending made sense to what my previous pages had said.
And if you don't know what we're talking about, Butcher and the Wren
is another podcast
of
Morbid. Morbid is the name of the podcast.
Yes.
And she's one of the hosts, Elena. And
her book is amazing.
Oh my gosh, The Butcher and the Wren was so good.
It's going to be one of those books that you cannot put down.
No, for sure.
Whether you listen to it, whether you read it, whatever you decide to do, it's amazing and you should definitely check it out.
Oh my gosh, tangent episode, you guys. Seriously. Okay.
It's been a while.
It has been a while. We have been catching up. This is only episode two back. So, okay.
They're in the argument, prosecutors.
Whether they're defense, happy marriage or not.
It was also mentioned in the trial that Kathleen was the only owner of their mansion and the car.
Oh, so his name wasn't on it.
Nope. Another thing that was mentioned was Kathleen's company, Nortel. They had a mass firing, and the couple was worried she might lose her job. Then if that happened, it would leave them without the necessary sources to continue the lifestyle they had, which I can get. Like, I could understand if you're used to living this lavish lifestyle but she has so many opportunities under her belt.
Yeah.
It's not that she couldn't go get something else and still make that kind of money.
For sure.
But prosecutors brought up Michael's ties to an earlier death.
What?
Yeah. So, remember when Michael lived in Germany?
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently, the friend named Elizabeth Ratliff, which was the mother of Margaret and Martha.
Yes, the two girls. They're his goddaughters.
Yes. Of course, you know, that was her and her, you know, they were very close to him and his ex-wife.
Mm-hmm. Friends.
Now, remember, remind you, she died in 1985. She was found at the bottom of a staircase, just like Kathleen.
What?
Michael had been at her house
the girl's
night before.
Mother?
Yes. Michael had been at her house before. This is also the mother of the $2 that were just, you know. But Michael had been at her house the night before, and when she was found, she was dead at the bottom of a staircase.
Does anybody, like, say anything about, like, why he was over there? Like, was there, like, a romantic relationship going on? Were they really just friends? Like, was he over there arguing? Like, what, like, why was he over there?
None of the articles that I could find said anything. And now, mind you, we mentioned the series that is out there. I did not watch it yet. I did not want it to alter what I had already researched. But I am interested to see if they bring that up in the series.
Oh my gosh.
Because I feel like they would. Yeah. Like, you know, and whether it's true or not, because, you know, any type of TV series, whatever, they're going to tell you things to draw you in.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But the German investigators for Elizabeth's death ruled it that she died due to a medical hemorrhage. In 2003, the medical examiner who performed Kathleen's autopsy conducted a second autopsy on Elizabeth's body and made them exhume her body.
Oh my gosh.
The examiner determined that she had been beaten to death. No one was ever charged for Elizabeth's murder.
Mm.
A large part of the prosecution's case relied on the blood splatter evidence of the SBI, which is your State Bureau of Investigation. They said the droplet patterns found on the walls and the steps of the stairs of the Peterson home matched what would be resulted from a beating.
Mm-hmm.
The blunt force trauma theory is that a long, thin, rounded object was used as the weapon. Like a home's fire poker.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, the fireplace's fire poker.
Mm-hmm.
Which was missing during the early investigation.
I think that they also looked into, like, a golf club.
Yes.
I think they also looked into, like, if a baseball bat. Like, they were very... like
anything that was round.
The contusions on her head. Not contusions, but the...
The lesions
on her. Mm-hmm. What are they called?
Not leisure. We're not relaxing. Lacerations.
The lacerations on her head were very specific.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I remember them having to conduct, like, a bunch of different tests as to what would actually cause that pattern of breakage. And, I mean, they looked into a golf club. They looked into a fire poker. They looked into a baseball bat. Like, they also dropped a bunch of things onto a dummy head.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just, oh my gosh.
Like, there was a lot of research
mm-hmm.
done to it.
And they were also trying to figure out what might also cause those blood spatter
mm-hmm.
evidence.
Because that's not going to happen when you're falling
down the stairs. When you're falling down the stairs, they did confirm that, like, this isn't really how your blood would spatter if you're falling down the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
Even if the staircase could cause these lacerations.
Well, the fire poker, which we just said was,
and we all missing. Know what that looks like too. It's got yes, it's got the little hooky thing at the end with the round. Right,
you've got
thing.
The point, and then you've got the other one.
It's like a double headed.
Yeah, one's like a poker, like it's a sharp.
Yeah.
Point, like a long point.
Maybe
and then
we
you've got another one that is rounded, like
right.
a hook.
All
but
on the same
still
thing.
Pointy.
Maybe we post a picture of it.
Yes,
on
we
Facebook.
Should. We definitely should.
On the Instagram episode.
This poker, which was not there during the early investigation, it did actually turn up in the home's basement late in the trial. It was admitted as evidence, but showed no signs of having been used for the murder.
Mm.
I don't care if what they say. If it wasn't found before, you can't tell me that it was not cleaned.
Yeah.
Before, and that's why you didn't find anything. If it was the weapon.
And how long between the initial investigation did they eventually find it in the basement? Because it was quite some time.
I could not find it anywhere. I could not find a specific date. All I got
even
was,
even if
like,
it was the next day.
All I got was, like, a lengthy time.
They find her body. No fire poker is in the house.
Mm-mm.
Then at some point time later, they find it in the garage. Even if it was a day, that sucker could have been cleaned.
Yes, but that's what I'm saying. Like, there was nothing that I could find because a lot of the articles that I had looked for and stuff, and of course where there is now
Netflix
now a series,
yeah.
Like, you're coming up with all this stuff. Just like when I go and do, you know, Gypsy Rose, when I'm sitting here researching her, it's going to be hard to go and grab that true backstory because mm-hmm. now everything's she was released.
Anyway, right.
Back up. Defense team argued that she fell at least two times on the dimly lit stairs.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
causing her to hit... It's not funny.
It's not funny. You're right. But they're claiming that she...
What? Did you fall down four of them and then get up? And then up got and back fall, up. And fall then, down the rest?
Yes.
Like, and, yeah. No.
They're claiming that she, like, fell down the stairs, hit her head, and mm-hmm. then bled onto that stair and then tried to get up and then go back up the stairs and then slipped on her own blood and fell back down.
No,
that's
I
what,
don't.
That's what they claim.
No, I don't see that. I don't. I just don't. Yes, it could happen, but no.
This case is so frustrating.
Because I feel like if it was me and I fell down the stairs,
the first thing I would do is cry out for help.
Well, that, and if I'm bleeding that bad when I stand up, I'm going to grab.
I'm not
going
to try to go back upstairs. I'm going to go no, downstairs.
I'm going to stand there for a minute, and I'm going to grab wherever it's hurting. Yeah. And then I'm going to see that I have blood everywhere, and I'm going to be like, what the heck?
Yeah, I'm not going to try to go back upstairs.
No. So, apparently her falling two times is what caused her to hit her head repeatedly on the sharp molding. They also stated, of course, the drinking with the wine and the taking of the Valium. Then it was brought up the fact that she was wearing flip-flops.
Oh, the damn flip-flops. Do you remember in Driver's Ed they told us not to wear those?
Yes. Yes, I do. And you can't... I remember they told us it was... Whether this is true or not, I need to look it up because I still do it. It's illegal to drive barefoot.
Oh, I did hear that. I don't know if that's actually true or not.
I don't know if that's true either because I still do
it. I would think that would be safer. Because I can feel, like, the pedal, like...
Well, you know, yeah, that too, but I, like... More intuitive. I will take my shoes and I will shove them up to the left.
Oh, you're a barefoot driver?
If it's summertime, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or, like, if my... Or, like, say we get off the lake or, you know, something like that. If yep. I'm driving, I'm never driving. We're leaving the lake.
No.
But,
No, I love that.
I do. I used to be one of those,
I was going to say, you people. Used to... Yeah, you used to
used
keep
to
your
be
leg
one
up.
Of those, left yep. leg up people.
Not one of those people anymore?
No, because I'm not driving... I haven't been really driving long distances like mm-hmm. that. Like, if... Like, especially when I was driving for my 21st birthday to the beach. Oh, yep. yeah, I was a leg up.
Leg up.
Yep.
Yep.
But, anyway. Enough tangents. They raised doubts to the whole blunt force trauma assumption deal because despite the fact she had lacerations to her skull... And stated that Kathleen did not suffer a skull fracture or brain injury, which those typically occur with blunt force traumas.
Yeah, I mean,
if you're falling down a flight of stairs, you're going
to
have
you're hitting your head hard enough to cause an open wound.
Mm-hmm.
You should also probably be fracturing your skull at that point too.
Something.
And head wounds bleed.
And you can't tell
y'all.
Me like falling down those stairs. Head wounds bleed, yes.
Mm.
Whether it was a skull fracture, whether it was mm-hmm. skull bruising, a brain injury, some type of concussion,
yeah.
something would have happened.
Yeah, it was more than just blunt force trauma in this situation. Like, it was just a very weird pattern that mm-hmm. they found during this autopsy, and it was just very specific markings that just didn't add up. They just didn't add up.
So, following the 3-month trial, Michael was found guilty on October 10th, 2003, and was sentenced to a life without parole. He was sent to North Carolina's Nash Correctional Institution, where him and his attorneys filed multiple appeals but were unsuccessful. In 2009, an attorney by the name of T. Lawrence Pollard, who was actually Michael's neighbor, filed a motion with a new theory for Kathleen's death, saying she had been injured by an owl.
Oh,
an owl.
I kind of love this theory. I love it. I'm sorry. It just, it, this
it,
is
it
one of the reasons.
It does make sense, but.
This is one of the reasons that I love our justice system so much.
I could see it making sense, but it's still.
It's nutso. But he does such a great job of freaking convincing me that this is possible.
Agreed. Michelle, how many owls have you seen in your lifetime?
Never. Not one. Not a single owl. I've heard
how
them.
Many, yes, you've heard them.
I've never in my life seen one.
How many times when we were in high school, out where we shouldn't have been, in the middle of a field.
So many times in the middle of a field.
And
never saw
you hear an owl, and no owl has come at you.
I have been in the middle of fields far more often than I would like to admit, and I've never seen a physical owl, nor have I ever been attacked by one. And we live in North Carolina.
My husband has been hunting.
Yes.
And sent me videos of an owl in a tree right beside him.
Yeah. And
not attacked
him. I was going to say, how aggressive are they?
Not very much. They look a little scary.
Oh my gosh, they're terrifying with those beady eyes, and they can like swivel their heads all the way around.
They look scary.
And they're huge.
They are.
They're actually a lot bigger than people think that they are.
No, I've never seen one in person, but yes, they are huge. But I get what he's saying, but in all actuality, have you personally seen an owl outside? And has it attacked you?
No.
And have you seen it multiple times?
No, and no, and no.
Okay.
Again, this is just one of the reasons that I love our justice system, because this dude, gives me, like, I actually feel like I can trust him by the end of his theory. I'll let Candy can explain.
Her scalp wounds supposedly had been caused by the owl's talons. Pollard found a single microscopic feather listed in the SBI crime lab. And he submitted a motion saying that there were more feathers and hair found in Kathleen's left hand. So what, the owl's attacking her and she's trying to grab it?
Grab the owl.
Like, I'm not trying to grab it.
Oh, come on. If you have an owl attached to your head, you are
to smack it. I'm not trying to grab it.
No, but I think that you'd probably get a feather in your nail or two.
Maybe, but...
I'm just saying this is a plausible situation.
It does make sense, but it doesn't. Of course, this new theory drew attention and ridicule, but did not get Michael a new trial. In 2010, an independent report revealed multiple cases of distorted or false evidence from the SBI's blood analysis unit. Michael's case was not among those listed on the report, but the blood analyst who testified at this trial was involved in the many cases of the report. So, on February 14, 2001, Michael filed a motion for a new trial. Later that year, on December 14th of 2001, the judge who oversaw Michael's first trial relinquished his conviction due to, quote, materially misleading and deliberately false, unquote, testimony from the blood analyst.
Yeah, so the guy who recorded the blood splatter and who ran all of the tests.
Yes.
And ultimately the guy who came in and said, no way did she fall down these stairs. No way did this blood splatter. No way was it caused by her falling.
Yes.
It was absolutely some sort of blunt force trauma and some sort of beating.
Mm-hmm.
He gets convicted of lying and falsifying evidence for other cases, not this one, but for...
Yeah, this one wasn't on the report.
Right.
The other ones, yes.
Yes. So he gets ultimately called in and said, you know, oh, well, we found that this isn't true and that he had falsified this evidence for other cases. And so, of course, every other case that he had worked on gets... looked at, gets thrown out, gets reevaluated, whatever the case may be.
Yep.
So that's what ultimately happened.
So Michael, who has now spent 8 years behind bars, posted bail and was released on house arrest December 16th of 2011.
All because of this dude.
Yep. Prosecutors appealed the overturning of the verdict, but North Carolina's Court of Appeals upheld the decision in July of 2013. Michael's lawyers tried to get the case dismissed because of the physical evidence had not been properly preserved, and it was denied in November of 2016. Michael was supposed to go to trial in May of 2017, and the owl theory could have been part of the defense. But on February 24, 2017, Michael entered an Alford plea to voluntary manslaughter for Kathleen's death. He still stated that he didn't kill his wife, but the Alford plea allows people to continue to maintain their innocence while accepting there is enough evidence to convict them. With this plea, Michael was a convicted felon, but the time that he had already served in prison, he was allowed to leave the courtroom because he had already served those 8 years.
Time served.
Yep. As of 2022, Michael is said to be living in Durham, North Carolina, on a ground floor condo that his defense attorney says has no stairs.
Oh, thank God. Good Lord. Kathleen, after two murders, two potential murders, you don't need stairs. You obviously don't know.
I love, though, that the defense attorney adds in that he's living in a condo that has no stairs.
Just so everybody feels a little bit more comfortable. Just in case
someone else dies around him.
It's not because of the stairs.
No, there's no stairs there. Kathleen has a sister, and which we didn't mention earlier. There was not much information on her. She continues to believe that Michael did, in fact, kill Kathleen.
Well, yeah, just like everybody else in the United States.
Yeah. Since Michael's release from prison, he has wrote two books called Behind the Staircase and Beyond the Staircase. Both were published in 2019 and give detail on behind-the-scenes information on his trial, his prison life, and life after prison. As much as I want to go read these books, I don't want to give him the money.
I was just about to say, I don't want him to profit from it.
No, I don't either.
He totally did it.
I know, but you know how bad I want to go read these books now?
Here's the thing.
I just can't. I can't because I don't want him to profit off
of it. I thought that it was, well, I guess it's only if you're in prison, isn't it? Like, you can't profit off of the crimes?
I think that's only in prison.
Yeah.
Unless they have a court order that those books that he published do not profit off of it, because it does talk about the crime. It does talk about his trial. It does talk about those things. Unless there is a court order. But he's got to be profiting something.
Well, no, I think he absolutely is profiting something, because the only reason he's out is because the blood analysis guy screwed up.
Yeah.
Screwed up other cases. That's what got his case thrown out.
Let's go back to the owl theory, though.
Okay, let's talk about it, because I'm excited. I love this owl theory.
I totally get it. It makes sense. Compared to... Okay, so we're going to post
pictures. You have to see the pictures.
Yes, pictures of her, the top of her head.
Yes.
And pictures of an owl's talons.
And other owl attacks.
Yes, it does.
You guys.
It does look like it. It does. I am not discrediting that whatsoever. I could see it. I could believe it. My whole thing, though.
It is
though,
so far-fetched. I get it. That but it this is
guy
so
was not there. And I do feel like, as a neighborly friend, you can try to help your neighbor. Well, if you like your neighbor.
I was about to say, man, I like your neighbor.
Well, I mean, I like most of my neighbors.
I like most of my neighbors, too.
You don't have any neighbors.
I liked my neighbors. If they had gotten attacked by an owl, I would have assisted.
Michelle's living in a cardboard box. She doesn't have any neighbors.
I'm homeless, you guys. I'm homeless.
You have to go and tell people
that. I'm homeless.
Anyway, I do see it. I really do. But my whole thing is, if that was the case, if you got attacked by the owl after you had drank, after whatever, you had to have lost enough blood to make yourself woozy, dizzy, whatever, to be unstable on the stairs and then fall down the stairs. But you still had to know there was a problem.
I also, here's the thing that I think you're missing, though. I think that the idea of an owl attacking your head is enough to disorient you to cause a fall.
Agreed.
Like, I mean, if you're walking up the stairs.
If you're looking at it that way.
Yeah, I feel like there is.
Because it didn't specify in my research.
You're right.
Whether she got attacked in the backyard.
Right.
Whether she got attacked walking down the sidewalk. Whether she got attacked in the house.
Okay, so I will go ahead and give you some clarification. This dude, what's his name? David Rudolph does, in fact, claim that the owl flew in through a window and attacked her on the stairs. He thinks that while she's on the stairs, like, you know, like 3 or 4 or 5 stairs up, she gets attacked by this owl. She's disoriented.
Now they have a mansion, so you're way more up than that.
Maybe it is more. I don't know. But my point is, though, she's in the middle of the staircase. Owl flies in and attacks her head. And she's fighting off of it, slips, and then falls down the stairs.
I get that. It does make sense.
It could
but be. But it could be. Or he could have wham, wham, wham
poker. Yeah, you absolutely could have whacked her over the head with a poker a couple of times.
And it looks like a talon.
For sure.
If someone's attacking you with a fire poker and hitting you, they're hitting the exact same spot.
Oh, you'd be multiple. So, you would be so disoriented.
But not just that, but you would, you're not hitting the same exact spot.
No.
You're hitting over and over.
Yeah.
And I could see
it where, causing that, like, three-prong yes, pattern.
Like a talon pattern.
Right. They say that it's possible, but the fact of the matter is, like, I mean, just the, like you were saying, I mean, the idea, I mean, we have been, I don't know what generation most of our listeners are growing up in.
And you didn't
in.
Have any screens on your window?
Well, yeah, I mean, you would have had to have had an open door or an open window for the owl to get in. And they're huge. They're so big. You Why is the owl flying into your window?
Now, look, I've had some birds in the basement.
Have you? Just like little birds.
Yeah, and I dropped to the floor.
But you also have an open garage door.
Yeah, because the garage door's open. That's
it's
how they get in there.
Huge.
But I just,
it's
I still
so,
think.
It's so freaking far-fetched. But that's part of the, okay, here's the thing. I do not.
I still think you did it.
I do. I do not enjoy people getting off for crimes that they committed. I don't. Okay, I get that. But what I do love so much is the idea of just creating enough reasonable doubt.
Agreed.
To make you think. And I'm sorry, but this owl theory in this case was kind of a home run for me. Like, it was like, okay, like, I see what you're saying. I see what you're, like, nobody was there. Mm-hmm. You can't say that an owl didn't fly into the window and attack her. And I just, I'm sorry, I love it. I love it. It's not, I know for a fact that Michael killed her. I know that Michael killed her.
If it wouldn't have been the previous friend in Germany.
Yeah.
That died.
Yeah.
At the bottom
same
of the staircase.
Way. Yeah.
I probably would have leaned mm-hmm. towards the owl theory. But no.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess like another thing is like it you really...
And if you divorced, why did you have to move out of Germany?
Mm. You also have to think, like, you have to be kind of in, like, the perfect scenario, too. Like, that person has to be on the stairs. You have to get into the argument on the stairs. Like, you have to have the fire poker ready to go. Like,
I think he did it.
Yeah, he totally did it.
I think that whether it was the fire poker or some other kind of...
He did it with the fire poker. And then he went out, and then he went outside and lit a cigar.
Yes, I think he did. I think because of the amount of blood that was at the bottom of the stairs or whatever, I think it had been hours before he even called.
It's all, the blood down, the blood at the bottom of the stairs was also disturbed. It
yes,
looked like,
yes.
Like, I mean, it was spread out like some, like, and if, I'm pretty sure that like whenever investigators came, he had like scooped her up too. Like he was kind of sitting in it.
Yeah, because he's going to play it off.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, he's like, oh, my wife.
No, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, obviously the blood was disturbed, but when you look at pictures of the staircase where she was, like, obviously in the
which
pictures.
Which we're going to post.
I thought we decided not to.
We're not going
to
post the blood, but there is a picture that I sent you of the staircase itself.
Yes.
There is a picture of the top of her head compared to an owl's talons.
Yeah.
There is pictures of them and their family, mm-hmm. but we're not posting the
crime
blood.
Evidence.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like I said, it's just, it's a lot down there. And I mean, you can kind of see where it's disturbed, but you don't know if it was disturbed before the body was removed or like what was, it was just, oh my gosh. Like I said, there's just so many different ins and outs of this story. And it's such an interesting case. And
I bet though, nobody wants to date his ass.
Oh, I bet he's single AF right now. Like, you would absolutely not. No. And like you said, he lives in a place with no staircase. Maybe he's safer now because there's no stairs. Maybe she's like, yeah, I'll go after that since there's no stairs.
No.
You guys, thank you.
I hope y'all enjoyed all the tangents and the story.
Thank you so much.
Welcome back to Sip Sip Crime.
Sticking around with us for this long. We really appreciate you guys, and we're so happy to be back, and we hope that you guys continue to tune in. If you haven't already, go and join our YouTube, because
yes.
We do have our episodes over there as well. That was a highly requested thing, so we got that out for you guys. So each one of our episodes is posted on YouTube. We have new merch, so you can find all of that new merch.
Comfy merch, too.
So
get
comfortable.
It.
You guys, they're Bella Canvas t-shirts.
And not to, you know, boast Michelle, but I'm going to because she's badass. She also, let's not forget that, you know, she has wedding videography. She does photography. She went ahead and done a, shop for clothes called Cash & Co. And the cutest freaking stuff, so check that out too.
Thank you, Candy. I appreciate that. Yes, we will link all of that on our Sips of Crime website for you guys to check out. And so definitely go and grab some of our merch because it's really cute and it's brand new and you guys could be some of the first ones that have it. And if you want to check out Cash & Co., you absolutely can. It's definitely tailored more towards like moms and like
kind of comfy. That's all that matters. Busy women.
Yes, it's all about comfort. But yeah, so we will be bringing you guys some more content here soon and we're so excited to be back and up and running, and we hope that you guys have a great rest of your day, and we will talk to you in 2 weeks.
Bye!
You can join our freaky family at sipsofcrime.com,
where you can sign up for our monthly slumber party Patreon and follow us on social media.
Thanks for listening. Stay alive.